Man, I'm so glad that you made it here today. Just love to worship the Lord. Do y'all agree with me? Praise the Lord. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I just interfere when I walk up here to start preaching and think, man, we should just continue our worship of the Lord. You know, this morning we've sang about how God is faithful, about how he's worthy. And we have a testimony this morning of his faithfulness in the presence of several people that are here with us. And so I'll get to put them on the spot here for just a second. But Jonathan and Jennifer Alvarado are sitting right back here in the corner. And baby Sophia is with them in the wagon right next to them. So praise the Lord that y'all are here. Sophia is still... got a mountain to climb in front of her. After the service, we're going to wheel her up here in the wagon. I get to say that. So when the service is over, we're going to wheel her up here. And if you'd like to come by, we're going to ask that you not lay hands on Sophia since she's just an infant and struggling with sickness. But if you'd like to pray for them to come up here and just pray before Sophia and pray before Jennifer and Jonathan and with them. So just know that that's coming up. We want you to be a part. When y'all were in school, I'm speaking to people that are 30 years and older. When you were in school, do you remember the gifted and talented class, right? And remember the bumper stickers, you know, like my son beat up your gifted and talented son, you know, those that were going along in the back of the cars. You know, we had the gifted and talented classes back in the day, but today, you know, with all the changes that are happening, everybody, we don't want to label people gifted and talented. Everybody's just special today, right? Oh, you're special. And we have the Barney generation that has swept through our culture. And, you know, second place is also like first place. It's okay. And last place, we're all going to hug each other after the finish line anyway. And so everybody's just special today. But I have a different message for you. You are gifted. You are gifted by God. And I don't want anybody to take the joy away from you that you are gifted. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, Jonathan, if you really knew me, you would know that I don't have any gift whatsoever. You're wrong if you believe that. You are gifted by the Lord, whoever you are, wherever you are. When you call upon the name of Jesus, you're gifted. Now, we're gifted differently. So we want to understand how this giftedness works. All right, in fact, I don't think y'all are believing me. I just want you to say, I am gifted. Are you ready? I am gifted. Three of you believed it when you said it. Okay, are you ready? I am gifted. Ready? I am gifted. Now, this isn't some self-help church or self-help statement here. This is the truth of God being revealed to you through Jesus Christ, through his word. So we have to know that. We have to believe it deep down in our heart. What we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 over the next several weeks are specific ways that God has reached into your life and gifted you to be used for his glory in the church, in the kingdom of God, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. But before we get into the beginning of chapter 12, we're going to start in the middle because this is really the bedrock that Paul writes about the giftedness all around him. And this is one of the most famous passages that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. Now, I can imagine as we look at this passage here on the body of Christ, and what does our role look like in the body of Christ? I can imagine Paul sitting on a Roman ship, maybe sailing out to Cyprus, maybe sailing to Rome for his imprisonment, maybe sailing over to Ephesus or to Macedonia. And I can imagine him sitting on the deck of that ship talking to his good friend Luke, the doctor. And Luke just going crazy about being a doctor. Paul, you wouldn't believe what we've discovered of how the body works, of how these things work together and function in unity, and we can fix something over here in the chest and it makes the leg feel better. And the Holy Spirit using those conversations in Paul's life to write something as glorious as 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Well, what number stands out to you in that passage? Anything? The number one, right? I don't know how many ways the Bible can say it in every single book of the Bible, church. Hear this, that unity is essential as a Christian. Unity is vital as a Christian. For those who love the Lord and hate their brother, something is wrong. Either you don't love the Lord or you don't understand anything about the Lord. Unity is vital in our relationship with each other and our relationship with Christ. Now, I have a very handsome, wonderful helper that is going to help me understand this passage a little bit better today. I want to introduce my son, Ethan Leftwich. Come on up here, Ethan. Y'all give him a hand. All right, thank you. You know, we have stairs on the stage on the other side if you want to see that. Ethan, why don't you have a seat right here? You're going to be with us a long time today, right? So I want you, sitting where you are, to look around. Just look at the people next to you. Make them feel uncomfortable, right? Turn around. They see you staring. This is the time that it's okay to stare. It's politically correct right now. What do you look like in this room? Do you know in God's eyes, this is what you look like? No, not a boy that's very handsome and gifted, right? You look like one body in God's eyes. One unit that's functioning together, that moves together, that runs together, that shakes together, that fears things at the same time, that senses things at the same time. One body. How many ways can the Lord say, this is unity? And this, even though you're many, you are one, one body, right? This is what we look like. Now, it doesn't take long to look out into the world to understand that the world has a very different message. I mean, you turn on the TV the last 2 weeks and George Zimmerman has been on the TV, right? And the trial that won't go away has been on the TV with Trayvon Martin. And we think, okay, we're so sophisticated in 2013 and civil rights were so long ago that now there's no racial issues anymore in our world. And then we have this trial that springs up and realize, no, people really hate each other. There are still tensions. There's still divide in the world because that's what we find in the world. But in the church, it's different. Where is there room for race in the church? There is no room for race in the church. We're all one body with one Spirit, right? Where is the rich man in the church? Where is the poor man in the church? We're one. We all look the same. Those things that separate us on the outside are supposed to melt away when we gather together as a church. One, unified. Now, Ethan, I have to tell you, I'm just impressed with the way that you look standing up here, sitting up here. You just got it all together. How are you so unified? You don't seem like you're divided at all. I mean, your arm hasn't slapped you. You didn't trip when you came up here. How are you so unified?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. He just is. The Lord created him this way. The Lord created him where his stomach and his intestines and his feet all work together in harmony, right? And his arms and his mind. When the Lord spoke the church into existence, when you were born, not of woman and man, but born of the Spirit, you were born into unity, into oneness, where God says this is all going to function together as one by my Spirit. So can you operate in your giftedness, right? Because people want to, okay, I'm gifted. I want to find out about giftedness. Can you operate in your gift outside of unity? No, church. We try, don't we? We try and we beat each other up with gifts that God has given us because we're not operating in unity. You want to operate the way that God wants you to operate. You start by loving your brother and loving your sister who are around you, and you let God bring out that gift that's in your heart. Those cannot be separated. We operate in unity because not only is there one body, but there's one Spirit, right? Ethan is unified because everything is functioning together in his body, right? His mind is sending signals. His heart is beating out things to his body. They're all working together in unison. We can be unified as a church, as Christians, as a body, because Paul says we all drink from one spirit. It's a reference to the Lord's Supper. We're all drinking the same juice, right? I always make fun of people that are like, oh, what's happening at Fellowship Church? What are y'all drinking over there? Well, we're all drinking the same Holy Spirit. It's gotten a hold of us deep down within us, within our heart. And I love this analogy. If this is a direct reference to the Lord's Supper, which Paul has been talking about, you have life that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have life that's in the Spirit of Christ. Do you realize, church, when we come here to meet here, we're meeting here to throw off the shackles of our sin and to be encountered by the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit falls upon us and we taste that life that is God's. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, two of you agree with me that it is awesome, right? It's incredible. It's the greatest thing that has ever been written in the whole world, where God comes and he meets with us and we taste and we know his life. I love that. We all drink of the same Spirit. So when we come here, the Holy Spirit drops on us. We're drinking of the Holy Spirit. That's unity. That's unity. Jesus says this to Nicodemus. He says, in that spirit, you are born again. You are born of God. So Ethan, I want to just do a role play here for a second. And this is a huge stretch of the imagination, but I just want to pretend that I'm the Holy Spirit for a second. Okay, can you stand up on this thing? Now, obviously I'm your father and so I tell you what to do all the time. So this shouldn't be a stretch to you right here, but can you stand on one leg? Is that okay? You're not going to fall? I'm impressed. Can you jump while you're on that one leg? Oh. Okay, put your leg down. Can you jump off of the stage? Jump back up on the stage. Now we're talking, right? There you go. I see what's going on. That's the way that it works, isn't it? Holy Spirit speaks to the body. This is what I want from you. This is what I expect from you, right? And the body responds in unity to do something. But Ethan, I have a feeling that there's other people in this room that want to tell you what to do, because this is fun. Guys, those of you that don't have kids, this is what parenting is all about. This is a blast, okay? So I want you to help me out here. And Ethan, I'm going to turn off my microphone and I just... Did you say the Watutsi? Ethan, how come I was back there, I was telling you what to do? Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Why would you listen to them?
I couldn't hear you.
You couldn't hear me, but I was saying, I want you to stand on one leg again, and you started doing jumping jacks. And then I thought you were going to Watutsi for a minute, and I started getting scared. Go on and have a seat back there on the bench. You mean to tell me, if we're going to operate in our gift, you have to hear the Holy Spirit. You have to hear what the word of the Lord is saying to be able to operate in your gift. Why is it so difficult to hear sometimes? Maybe we're standing in a spot that is far away from God. And we know his voice is calling out to us, but we've surrounded ourselves with so many King of the Hills and so many South Parks and so many internet voices that are all around us that are shouting out to us that it's drowned out the voice of the Lord that we're supposed to hear. So we're trying to operate in our giftedness. I think this is what God has told me to do, right? No, that's not what God has told you to do, but that's what you've deciphered it to be through all of the mess, through all of the noise. We're one body and there's one spirit. How can it be so difficult to hear the spirit, to drink of the spirit? Because so many times we drink all of the junk that the world has to offer before we go to drink of the spirit, and we're full, aren't we? I don't have any more room within me. I've been kicking back lies and deception and lust and greed all day long, and now I want what the Spirit wants, but I'm full of junk. There's one body, there's one Spirit. Don't make it difficult to hear of what the Lord wants to say to you. Let's keep going. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. What an incredible analogy. I mean, how awesome is it? You know, in my feeble way of thinking, I think of cooking. And I think, man, this is like a brownie. We're like a brownie, you know? And we've got flour and we've got, I don't know what else goes into a brownie, but flour and chocolate, right? And we're mixing it all together and you throw in a few nuts and it tastes even better, right, at the very end. And so it's like the church body, isn't it? An ear looks goofy sometimes, but it's necessary, isn't it? A kneecap is harder than the rest of the body, but it's necessary to be hard right there. We understand that there are different things used for different purposes. Ethan, let me look at your hands. Man, these are piano hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I like that. Man, that's a good-looking hand, dude. No, hold it. You mean to tell me you still have all 10 of your fingers? That's amazing. What is this tiny finger? I'm sure you never use this. I've never seen you use this finger when you play the piano. I tell you what, you've got 10, so let's just do away with that last one. There's not a need. There's probably somebody else in here that needs something else, right? Here, hold out your hand. I'll just bite it off. We're father and son, right? That would be bad. That would be horrible. But we're many members, and some of you feel like, oh, I'm insignificant. It's not insignificant when you try to get it ripped off of you or bitten off of you, is it? Suddenly, that's the most significant thing that I have on my hand. No, I use this all the time. What do you mean you want to remove it from me? We're many members. Look around the room. Do it again. Make them uncomfortable, right? Look at each other. The person sitting next to you is different than you. Praise the Lord. The person sitting next to you thinks differently than you do. Praise the Lord, right? They act differently than you do. Praise the Lord for that. You know what God is saying in this passage right here of many members and one body, one spirit, all together in unity? Stop looking at each other and envying the gifts that that person next to you has. Stop trying to be that person. God created you different for a reason and for a purpose. Yeah, Paul is going to tell us later on that we're to desire the greater gifts, but I'm not to envy what you have and become bitter that I don't have something that you have. That's not what God has created us to do. But the enemy seeps that into our hearts so often, doesn't he? Ooh, that person just has it all together. I wish I were them. Ooh, I wish that I had his talent. I wish that, you know, that marriage was the way that my marriage was. God has put you where you are for a reason and for a purpose. You know, when Paul is writing this, it's a way for him to say, don't despise other people because they're not like you. Right? The hand doesn't say to the ear, I don't need you. The ear doesn't say to the kneecap, I don't need you. And we don't look at somebody that's different than us and be like, oh, they're special, right? We don't do that. We look on each other with the understanding that God has placed that person in my life and in the church for a reason and a purpose. And it's the glory of God for us to live in unity together and sort out what is that purpose. Man, when Paul is talking about this body here, it's a way for him to say, don't just get completely focused on your area, right? Don't just do that. Now, for those of you that know me best, you know that I'm a music nerd. And when I say I'm a music nerd, like I love the theory of music. I love talking about church modes and all types of stuff. I just really enjoy that. And when I was a music major, before the Lord called me to be a pastor, I played the piano all the time. And in fact, my senior year of college, for about 5 months, I had to practice the piano 4 to 5 hours a day. That's way too much piano, just in case anybody is wondering about that. And I got so consumed with that area, right? This is piano, and I could pick apart and rip to shreds anybody else that's playing the piano because I was around that all of the time. And in the same way, we get so focused on our little area in the church. This is my area. I'm a greeter. The greeting ministry is the most important ministry out there. Anybody amen? Okay, just checking. Right? And so we forget about the homeless. Or we forget about the worship. Or we forget about praying together. When God has raised up people in every one of those areas to function together in harmony and unity, he's saying, don't focus on just your area. Look at the body as a whole because we need each other. God's placed us here for each other. And even check this out, right? The ear likes the feet, doesn't it? The elbow likes the knees because we're all together in one body. We can take joy in the differences that God has placed within us because through his Spirit, he's going to bring us together. I love the men on our church staff. I love the women on our church staff too. Women, y'all are amazing too. But I just think about these men. You rewind a decade ago. I'm talking about Chris Smith and John Partain and me. You rewind one decade ago and you have a dorky musician in me. You've got a guy doing programming, working with zeros and ones, and you got a football coach yelling at high schoolers. That's different, right? It doesn't get any different than that. We're just talking about a few years ago. And you fast forward to this time and the Lord has brought us together in unity. That's the work of the Holy Spirit right there, church. And that's just with three men that are spending a lot of time together answering the call that God has placed on our lives. How does that apply to you? It definitely applies to you. Every one of you with each other all the time. For the joy in front of us, we have this banner of Jesus Christ that no matter what field we step out of, we step underneath that banner as one. As one. I love thinking about how God has arranged our bodies. Aren't we goofy? You ever just think about it? A body is so weird sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes I think about our church and I think, man, aren't we goofy? You know, we're just a weird church sometimes, right? But I remember this, that God has arranged the body. In fact, look at what he says right there. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Do you realize that you're here because God brought you here? Not because you woke up early. Not because you got a flyer in the mail. Not because you saw a new building. You're here because the Lord wanted you to be here. And I believe that God brought each of you here to be the part of the body that as a church we are needing. As a church we might be lacking because God loves his church that much. Because God loves you that much. That God wants you to jump in and be a part of a people where together you're made whole in Jesus Christ. Where together you find the relational needs that you've been longing for in your husband or in your wife or in your children or in your coworkers, and you haven't been able to find it because the Spirit of God was missing in those relationships. But he wants you to be found in him in the church and allow that Spirit to reach out into those other relationships. God's arrangement is incredible. If you have your Bible, look with me in Psalm 139. You know, some of you in in here still just thinking, well, I feel worthless. I understand that feeling of being a doormat. But look at what David writes in Psalm 139 and verse 13. He writes this about our bodies. Think about this in context of the church. Your body being placed in the church, our body in unity together. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You know, some of you, when you're looking at that magazine in HEB checkout stand and feeling condemned that you don't look like that woman on that magazine, you need to say this to the Lord. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you, when you feel like you're insignificant in the church or in your marriage or in your family or with your coworkers, you need to quote this verse that says, you saw me when I was unformed and every day was written and ordained for me in your book before one of them came to be. And take joy in who the Lord has made you and start functioning, knowing that the Lord has created you the way that he created you. God's arrangement is so beautiful. Some of us in this room need to start believing you are who God says you are. Well, there's so many voices that would say opposite, but there's only one voice we need to hear. Let's keep going. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unrepresentable parts, they're treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Ethan, has your eye ever told your hand, I have no need of you? Of course not. Your eye would never say that to the thing that feeds your face all the time, night and day, right? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks in between, right? God has created our body for honor. Your physical body, God has created for honor. This church body, God has created to be honored. There's such fascinating statements right here on our honorable parts, on our presentable parts, on our unpresentable parts, and even on what is unpresentable, we take extra care of those. So that there's not one thing in our body that's more prominent or better than something else. It's all vital. Such beauty in God's design. Anybody in here stub their toe this morning? Anybody in here ever stub a toe? Right. Suddenly you realize how important your little toe is, and you wonder, how could that little toe be sticking out so much that it always hits the edge of that furniture, right? Anybody in here ever break a bone? Was it a bone that at the time you broke it, you thought was insignificant in your body, right? Of course, I didn't know I used my ribs until I broke a rib. And then I realized that every time I breathe, my ribs are vitally important. You know, when I was a senior in high school, I broke my collarbone in two places. And I thought beforehand that my collarbone, it just kind of moves with my body and nothing is fine. And then, everything is fine, but I realized when I broke it that like every single thing in my body is attached to my collarbone. And I was in intense pain for all of this time while my collarbone was trying to heal. Every one of you is so important. We might think that we're weaker, but you're not, because we all tap into the same spirit. You might think that you're unpresentable, And maybe God has placed you as a part of the body that's not presented all the time, but that means that you deserve more honor for where you are. And we still are drinking of one spirit. Ethan, I know that you're injury prone, aren't you? Yeah, he agreed with me, right? Why don't you stand up for just a second, buddy? Now, anybody that's been a parent for any time at all realizes that our children get injured, and they need the parent to help them and to get around them and to nurse them back to health. Now, Ethan, how old are you now?
9 years
old. Good grief. That's old. And I know yesterday when we were swimming that you'd kind of hurt your hand and your forearm. And so, man, I know, does this hurt right here? Okay, yeah, I knew that was a little bit painful, but I know I'm married to a nurse, so I know we've got to elevate this, okay? So I'm just, here, why don't you just hold this up against your body like this? No, not the bandage. I do the bandage. You hold it up just like this, okay? Now just hang on here, because we're going to really make this thing feel better. Wait a second, how do these things work? All right, we are going to make this feel better. Don't worry, you are going to be back in good health. Here, just let that stick to your body. Just relax here for a second. Okay. Some people wonder why I only use my son for some of these things, right? Okay. Whoa, watch out. Okay. There, that's good. That is good. Man, I know we were just on vacation and there was white sand, and I know you got sand in your eye over there. So here, I'm just going to put this patch on your left eye, just like that, okay? That's your hurt hand. Don't move that. I didn't wrap it tight enough, I don't think, all right? Now, I realize that sometime your knees can bother you just a little bit, so that's okay. Let me do this here for you. I think you're going to like this. This is going to make you feel much better. All right, here we go. Yes. You know, I just better get this hand involved, too, while we're at it. Okay. That's better. Now I am really dizzy right now. Okay, we got it down. Now, yeah, I think that's good. I am dizzy. Okay. Let's just take 5 minutes here for a second and talk amongst yourselves. We get injured as a body, don't we? Perhaps this is a better visual depiction of what a church looks like in 2013. Because so many of you are here because your marriage failed, because somebody hates you in your family, because at another church somebody cut your arm off from you and you were injured and it hurt. And we come together as a body and we say, all right, let's run together. It's interesting that God didn't create our body to be immobile. If Ethan were to just sit up here on the stool all the time, he would be fat and out of shape and unhealthy, right? Because God created our body for movement. But we try to move and we try to do stuff and we get injured. It's the nature of moving. It's the nature of trying. We put our heart out there and it gets stepped on and it gets squished. But what does our body do when our hand is injured? Well, we take extra care of it. We elevate it. We don't let anything touch it for a while until it feels better. Other parts of the body come to its defense. What happens in our body as a church when this is what we look like and we say, all right, they need us over here at La Roca Fellowship. Let's run out there and let's help them. That's not going to be any help at all, is it? What removes these bandages from our body? Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God. The name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. His resurrection power. Those things speak to our wounds, to our hurts, and by the power of the Spirit of God in us, these things are removed. And these things that were bound by the bandages that we created around it are healed and set free. It's Some of us in this room have caused these bandages to happen with other people in the room. Maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's our children, maybe it's just somebody that's in a life group, and we've caused the damage by hurtful things that we've said, and so now a part of our body isn't functioning the way that God created it to function. Then it's the Holy Spirit in you that the Bible says, before you give your sacrifice on that altar, you go to that person and you ask them for forgiveness. You say, man, I was out of line. And I realized that I got my finger and I stabbed it in your eye and you couldn't see anymore. But by the Spirit of God, I want to remove these things that I've caused to inhibit you so that you can be free in Christ. So that God can have his way and our body can function once again. You see, the Lord loves his church. He wants healing for you. He wants restoration for you. He wants functionability for us as a church. And that takes place right here between you and I. Is there anything that I've done that has hurt you? I'm so sorry. Forgive me, brother. Forgive me, sister. And let's drink of the Spirit together. And let's run this race that God has marked out for us together. Father, how we love you and how we worship you. God, I just praise you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you that you have called us by your name, Lord Jesus. And that even when we mess things up, and even when we get hurt and broken and abused, that you heal and you restore, and that you use humility, Father, in us, and us swallowing our pride to open up the realm of your Spirit to minister to our needs once again. So we praise you for who you are. Lord Jesus, come into this place and minister to our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask for John to come up, if you will, and just pick some music here really quick. And I want us, as a way to respond, just to bow together for a moment and think about your role in the body. If we can do this just for a few minutes, I want you to think about, God, what have you brought me to this church? What reason have you brought me here? And just pray. We're just asking the Lord these things. So if we can, just bow before the Lord and let's cry out to God. God, what reason have you brought me here to the church? How do you want to use me in this place? Maybe you're visiting here and going to go back home to your other church and you want to ask that for the context of your home church. I want you to ask the Lord, God, where have I not perceived myself correctly in your body? God, just reveal that to me. Maybe you thought of yourself far too highly than other people. Maybe you've thought of yourself as a doormat. God, I just want your ways to be my ways. I want you to ask, God, is there anybody in here that I have hurt unknowingly or knowingly? And you want me to restore that relationship with them? Is there anybody outside of these walls that you want me to restore that relationship with? Maybe they don't even know that you've heard them. Maybe you've just been gossiping about them. And you need to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. That's when the Spirit just starts moving and sweeping through an area like this. So God, reveal what you want to reveal to us.